Okay, so previously on, we were dealing with grammar, and really our biggest problem is that we have a bunch of cases, which we're going to enumerate in a second. They all seem to kind of imply different things about grammar, right? So the first case we had was the case in, was in the case in Shabbos. Can everyone hear me, by the Awesome. All right, it was the case in Shabbos. On Kuf Chaf, right? That's our, sort of our locus classicus for grama, where the Gemara says that covering a burning object, right, covering the opposite side, the side that's not on fire, is acceptable. Right? You're allowed to do that on Shabbos, right? That's Rishon Bananas. The Hemshech of that Mishnah says that you could even put jars filled with water around the fire, and then when the fire gets there, right, they would crack and pour water all over the place, and that's fine. And Rabbi Yossi says you're not allowed to do that. So far, so good. That's like those cases one and two. In the Gemara, there are two additional cases, right, by Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav says you can even put water on the talus that's on fire, and you could put water sort of around the fire, not in jugs. Okay. The question is that does that matter or not? Right? Is that different than what we said in the Mishnah or not? Right? Why yes, why no? Presumably I would say, at least at first glance, no, right? I wouldn't really necessarily think that they're different. At the end of the day, there's a fire over here, right? There's water that I'm putting over here, right? That should be totally fine, I would assume, right? If I think that I can put the jars of water over here. Here, I said, jars of water over here, right? Even though there's a fire over here, that's coming closer. So why does it matter if it's jars of water or plain water or who knows what, right? Or a fire extinguisher, I don't know. Okay, so I would have assumed that they are the same. Okay. Now the problem with that assumption, right? And that's kind of what comes out of the Gemara, by the way, right? The initial assumption of the Gemara is that. Yeah, there we go. Right. The initial assumption of the Gemara over here is I'm going to review them. Rav Talisha Achaz Ba'or Mitzad Echa No Son Love Mai Mitzad Acher Im Kavsa Kavsa. Right. And not only that, but you could all, or you know, less than that. I'm not sure. Talis Ba'or Mitzad Echad. You could like wear it, and that would sort of potter you from, and you can, and if it goes out, that's okay. That's probably like a Devarshim Skavin thing, so that's probably okay. However, right, Hu Damar Kirushim Bananas, Emer Damar Kirushim Bananas, Mipneshu Mecharech, Gram Kibo Miyamar. The Gemara seems to be assuming that if Yehuda Amar Rav is holding like Rishon Bananas, then the question is whether or not Rishon Bananas thinks you can do Gram Kibo. But Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav's case of putting water on the talus is also gram kibbeh, right? So the Gemara here seems to assume that doesn't matter whether it's in a kli out of a kli. Okay, and that also makes a lot of sense to us, right? Because you have the fire over here and the kalim over here, and since they're in separate places and the fire's only going to get there later, or because the fire still needs to move there, you're okay, right? Meaning either because there's a time delay or because there's some sort of the fire isn't independent koach that comes and causes the kibbutz. Okay, so either there's a detachment time-wise, or there's a physical koach detachment, and that's going to make it grama. Okay. However, right. Here's a problem, which is the Gemara says. And light Abaya. Abaya says, no, you can't. Right? If it's a ruach mitzuya, my time at da'asar. Ibaruch my time at mandashari. Ruach mitzuya, and mar safar gazrin, and mar safar lo gazrin. Say, okay, no, it's fine, because opening the fire neged, oh, the door negative fire, in theory, the wind is an external force, right? So you should be allowed to do it. But Abaya says, you can't. So they said, oh, maybe it's because of a gzera, right? Because of a ruach she'ena mitzuya. Okay? And the Gemara is Mamshech, right? It gives the reasoning why right the grama is okay. Asiyahu da'asar grama shari. But then, right, the case here of Tvila sounds pretty strange. Why? You have, let's say, Shem Hashem written on your guf. You go in and you are Tovel. So you're directly putting the Shem Hashem in water. Right? Why should that be considered grama? Right? It's a little bit strange. I would assume that that's not grama. Why should that be grama? I put it in water, meaning I am doing it, right? How do you, I don't know, like, if you want to erase something, right, you soak it in water and you scrub it, but isn't soaking it in water part of kiboy, a part of mechika? So it's, again, like a little bit of a of an issue. Like, why should we consider that grama? Right? I would have thought there needs to be some sort of separation. Here we're sort of saying that, oh, as long as it's, I don't know, you didn't do a physical action to it, which here you're not, you're just walking into the water. You're not like putting water on it, I guess. So that would make it grama, right? Why should that make it grama? That doesn't seem to fit with our definition. That seems to be too attached to be grama. Okay. At the end of the day, the you could deal with that by arguing it's different, right? Tefillah and mechikas Hashem are different issues. But again, right, the Gemara doesn't seem to do that. Okay, sorry, that's just one of our many problems. Also, by Zorev Aruach Misayaso, again, the Gemara says, oh, right, it should be grama, but, you know, Melech Machshav Asasor Torah. Is the Gemara saying that it's grama, but you're chayiv on this grama? Or is the Gemara saying, oh, actually, no, that one's not a grama, right? Because it's a different type of malacha, or the nature of the malacha, or what the Torah asked was not the separation, but the malacha, right? But again, the Gemara seems to be saying that even though it's grama, you're chayiv, but we say grama is pater, right? That's number one. And number two, if you want to say that it's not grama, then, right? And the Gemara here is saying that it is grama. I could have said it's not grama because the wind is here when you're doing it, just like the Ruach Shein Metsuya by the Madura case that Abaya was against. And yet here we're saying that it counts as grama. It just happens to be Aser because Melech Smachshav is Aser Torah. Okay, so again, there's, I would have thought, okay, either it's, you need to separate the kochos, but then Zorah doesn't seem to make so much sense. Zorah should be chayiv, but the Gemara says that it's grama. On the other hand, right, you're chayiv, so maybe it's not really grama, and the Gemara was just suggesting that it'd be grama for Nezikin purposes, but not for Shabbos purposes. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, right, gives us the case of tying someone up and opening up a dam, right, so that it pours water on him. Geiri didehu v'chayiv. Okay, so there we're going to say if you open up a dam, that counts as your koach and your chayiv. What's the problem? By Zoreh, we said you'd be pat. That's grama. Isn't that like the same thing? There's a force that you are harnessing, right? Similarly, you open up the door when there's a regular wind. Shouldn't that be, I don't know, shouldn't that be, you know, some sort of a problem? Why isn't that grama, right? Or the fire exists, you know, but you're putting water in front of it, and the fire is there, it's moving. So one thing is, okay, the first koach, the first splash, hani mili koach rishon. Okay, so it's only the koach rishon. There's this thing called koach rishon, which is like the more direct force of a koach sheni grama biyama. Like the second koach, the second in force is only grama. V'amar papa zarak tzror lemala, v'holcha l'stadin v'harga chayiv. All right, similarly, if you throw a rock and like part of the koach, or your koach is still there, you're going to be chayiv. So Rashi said, right, what's the difference between koach rishon and koach sheni? Because again, right, what's the dividing line between saying, oh, that's like your koach, or no, it's like the separate koach that you just happened to cause to come about. Okay, so you could differentiate it through different, right, different ways. One way to say it, one is to talk about, right, we said there's possibly of a time delay, physical distance, sort of the nature of your intent, right, which is much more, let's say, subjective, like, all the way on legal differences. No direct force input, someone you could separate between the two forces. And let's say, you know, is it definitely going to happen or it's probably going to happen, right? So one thing we can talk about is, I don't know, let's say, how close is he to the dam? Or right? If I open up a dam, so what happens? Right? So first, if you open up like a water source and there's pressure, so water goes like this, right? Do we mean that the water fell directly on him? You know, let's even do this in a chart and in a pictogram, pictograms, okay? So I have a pictogram. You have, right, a dam, okay? Over here, there is what was generally known as water. And here is a, here you have a floodgate, okay? So you open this up, do you see that? Right. So you open up the floodgate, right? Water comes out, splashes over here, right? We'll call this point, this is like point one, okay? Then, right, it flows directly here, okay? Then, okay, there's like a pothole, let's say it's a pothole. Right, then it'll fill up here. Right, then it'll fill up and it'll keep going. Okay, that's one. Number two, that's point number one. That's what I want to say about A. And B, that's thing number one. Okay, so we'll say up. Right, there's right the splash zone. We'll call this point number one. Right, is the splash zone. Point number two over here is where it flows directly, right? This is, we'll call this point number two. We'll call it the flow zone. Okay? And over here, there's some sort of impediment, right? It sort of goes through a detour, right? But let's call this the, right? This will be point number three. Where, what should we call the point number three? Any ideas? Any suggestions? Like after the detour.
The overflow zone?
The overflow. Okay, overflow, like that, right? All right, that's not one. Now, number two, this next point is that what happens? There's all this water, right? But there's more water, right? Because this is a dam, and dams get fed by rivers. And there's a river, right, over here that leads to the dam, right? Gonna sharpen our picture of the dam here, right? Right, but leading into the dam is a river, right? So this river, the water is not yet here when I open the dam, right? Because it's a river and it's flowing. And that water eventually gets here, right? Is that water, we'll call this number four, I guess, right? Which is the river water, okay? Which then comes later, because that's already all the way up the pipe, okay? Now, what's Pshat? What are we gonna do with all this? You know, I'm just gonna move the computer so it's a little bit closer, so you can, it might be easier to see. Okay, what are we gonna do with all this, okay? Why? Why is it so difficult? The Gemara told me, right? Koch Rishon is Chayiv, Koch Sheni is Patur, Koch Sheni is Gram. Okay? I tied the guy up. Where is my poor dude line? One second, I need a.
Hey, this guy, the lives. Hey.
It's the old one.
In the slack room, but Friday.
Right, that's Gary today, right? In the splash zone, he's definitely.
Your audio went crazy for a little bit. If you could repeat that.
Oh, sorry. Okay, right. Here's this guy. Right, he's victim. We come. Right, is our Vic. Okay, our victim. Where is he? If he's over here, right in the splash zone. If this is what kills him, it poured directly on him, right? If I take a crossbow, let's say one of you guys were to load a crossbow, okay? You're like, Avigdor, you're the best Magichir ever. You deserve a crossbow, okay? So you load up a crossbow, right? You make it out of like, either you're like a real originalist, you like cut down a yew tree and you just like, you know, make an awesome crossbow. Or you're like, oh, I love modern materials. You use like fiberglass and everything and you make the world's, you know, coolest crossbow. And you send it to me, right? And I get this crossbow and I'm like, wow, right? Awesome crossbow. I go out to test it out, you know, and I go and I shoot at something, right? So when I pull the trigger, right, you cocked and locked it, right? You sent me a loaded crossbow. All I did, right, was pull on the trigger. What does the trigger do? It releases the sear, which allows an already loaded spring to release, right? Right. You give someone a loaded gun. When you pull a trigger, you're not doing anything in the sense of you're not contributing energy unless it's a double action gun. But it's a single action gun. Okay? It's a 1911, right? It's like mamish. Just all you do is you pull the trigger, it just releases the sear. The spring is already all the way compressed. You're just letting it decompress. You're providing none of the energy. None of the koach is yours. What do we say? We say geiri didei, right? You fired it. It's your koach, your chayav, right? Yes, okay? So if you get someone else to load the crossbow, even though he provided the energy, we consider it to be geiri didei, it's your koach. But the koach is someone else's and you're just releasing it. Releasing potential energy is kocho, right? Releasing, right, previously stored kinetic energy is considered kocho. So the splash zone where it falls directly on you is definitely, definitely, definitely going to be, right? That's definitely koach rishon, right? Because that's just releasing previously stored kinetic energy. So fine, that's good. So far, so good, right? We got one thing which is clear, right? Number one is cooperation, right? That's definitely true. Actually, no, I'm just going to reorganize this a little bit. Okay, so number one, the splash zone, is vadai cooperation, right? The kuleam. Right, no one can argue on this because it's the same as I could have used a crossbow, right? Instead of using a crossbow, I'm using a water cannon, but it's a water cannon, right? So I shot you with my water cannon and you're dead. Fantastic. I mean, not for you, but right for our story. What about number two? Okay, why number two is interesting because, on the one hand, right, it didn't hit you directly. Right, it hit the floor first, and then it traveled and right and got you in the flow zone. In the flow zone, is that koach rishon or not? What do you guys think? And the answer is going to be obviously you can go both ways, and I think that the rishonim can go both ways, so you can't be wrong. Yeah.
I mean, it seems pretty logical to say that if there's no other thing that can happen aside from the water flowing downhill once you open up the dam, that it would still be your fault and still be your koach.
Right. Very good, right? It's definitely, I think it makes a lot of sense that you're chayiv, because, right, it's a direct result in as much as, right, you release this energy, it hit the floor, so it's like a ricochet, right? It bounced off the floor, let's say, but at the end of the day, right, I threw it. It's almost like, we'll say, maybe you could argue that it's koach kocho, right? Because I provided the original koach. Now that went and hit the floor, and now, right, it's bouncing in a different direction. But at the end of the day, right, it's still a chain reaction from what I did, right? So the original energy is still all mine. So the flow zone, I would be note, right, to say, oh, one second, can I probably write this, right, splash zone. Victim. Okay, let's say he's in number two. Let's say he's in the flow zone. Right. So I I would say, oh, it's Koch Rishon or Koch Kocho, because, right? In a Hanami, it bounced, but at the end of the day, it's still my energy, right? On the other hand, I could say, what could I say? Why would I be able to maybe argue that you're Pater? Tila?
I would argue that maybe the purpose of the dam is to release the potential energy, and like an aftermath is the fact that it flows over after. And I'm not harnessing the fact that it releases potential energy, I'm just using the overflow, and so I'm not really using the dam.
Right, where it's you're saying, like, okay, but what, it, like on a, try to make it like more technical. Like, put in more formal terms.
It's like, it's the aftermath, it's not the Koach Rishon. Like, it's just, this is what happens after you release it. So you're not really using
it. Yeah, it's just like, I want to be like more, just give me like a, put in more formalistic terms. What you're saying is good. So I, like in a more technical sense, like what would the technical distinction be?
I guess it would be that like you see the flow zone as more of a grandma, as in it. Okay, maybe help me out with the technical terms.
Okay, yeah, right. You're right. Like you say two things. One is you could say is that there is a separation of forces. Right? Because once it hits the ground, right, now it's flowing because there's water on the ground. In which case you could argue, I mean, you have to really try to get into the nitty gritty, that maybe, right, it's no longer the koach of the releasing of the dam. It's just now that the water is here, it's going to go this way. In which case, right, I could say it's like a hasaras moneya, I could say, or that it's like a, it's a koach sheni, or maybe even koach kocho, is still going to be pater. Because my original action, the original koach, is in releasing the dam. That happened. Now that there's water here, it's going to flow. But that's just a reality of the fact that the water is here. That's not a reality. It's not a product. It's not what I did when I let the water out. When I let the water out is I shot it over here. Now the water's over here, and it flows by itself. Right? So either you could argue that it's a sort of a koach sheni, or you could say, oh, what other thing could you say? Right. The problem with that is it's a little bit harder to argue that, just because you can say it's a ricochet, but then ricochet's pascha should be considered koach kocho. So you'd have to say, oh, koach kocho maybe is pater, right? Or you could say what? You could say maybe it's still all part of the same koach in theory, except that what happened? It happened after, right? Maybe that's already a time delay, right? The water shot out from here right away. And then it flowed, right? But in time-wise, there's no objectively, you can't say, oh, there's a difference in time between here and here, right? Because you shot it from here to there. Something had to cause it to get to two, right? What made it get to two? It started going to two only once it hit the splash zone. But that's already a different point in time from when you interacted with it, when you opened up the dam. So you could either say, the fact that there's a deflection makes it koach kocho, and maybe koach kocho is pater. The problem is that in Ezekiel, we're very clear that we think koach kocho should always be chayiv. Or you could say, yeah, but there's a time delay. These are two separate moments in time. Opening up the dam is a direct predecessor to this, right? But the getting to the flow zone is only something that can happen after it went to the temporally distinct splash zone. Right? Chronologically distinct time. And therefore, because an event happened in between, right? It hit the ground and then it started, right? Moving from the splash zone to the flow zone, then there's a time difference, right? So I would argue if I want to say it's koach rishon, I'd say either the flow zone, right, is, let's make it smaller, right? Either I can say the flow zone is a koach rishon, because it's koach rishon, maybe that's just part of it. Koach rishon includes, right, even the ricochets, or it's koach sheni because it's, I'll call it, it's koach kocho, which would maybe still be chayiv, right? We could either say it's kocho or koach kocho, it's just a ricochet, right? And make it a koach rishon, or I could say it's a koach sheni because, right, either I have to say koach kocho is going to be koach sheni. That's already much more tenuous. be harder to argue that, although you could. You could say, oh, it's Fauci. Or you could say, oh, but there's a time delay, right? And if there's a time delay, oh, wait a second, what did I want to do? That, I don't know what's happening there. I'm just going to use the other eraser. I should probably have made that red. Or, but if I want to say that it's a clock shading, maybe I can say it's a clock shading because, right, there's a time delay. Wait, wrong color. Right, could it splashes here and then it flows here, right? You can break those into two separate points of time. Yeah, someone was raising their hand. No? Okay, great. All right. What about the overflow? All right.
There's a time delay, and there's also a what we could call a physical delay because it has gone into the ditch and come out of the ditch. So there's a physical separation as well as a time separation.
Yeah, and also part of the physical separation is what? What happened? Why does the ditch matter?
Because it is its origin, the origin of the water is now technically from the ditch and no longer from the dam, the water leaving the dam.
And in terms of kinetic energy, where's the kinetic energy?
It's slowed. It would slow down by the ditch.
It will slow down, and also the ditch has to fill up, and then if where the water keeps coming because there's more water behind it, right? Because it's filling up, but it's not that the water is being pushed by you, right? It's similar to the case, which is very surprising, but we say by gravity, if you throw something straight up, right, and it's basically, it hits, right, it hits the zenith of its ascent, it's technically, in terms of physics, it has zero, right, momentum, so it literally is stopped, right, scientifically speaking, and then it goes straight down. When it goes straight down, it doesn't go straight down because you threw it up, it goes straight down because it's over here, and gravity is pulling it down. So gravity did it, not me. I threw it up, right? If it's still going to the side, we'll say, ah, right? You still have some participation, that's the Gemara. But if you threw it literally exactly straight up, you threw it straight up, then it stopped, and then it went straight down, right? So the energy is not coming from you, the energy is coming from gravity. The koach is out of gravity, not of you, right? So obviously, when we chayv you, even if it goes a tiny bit to the side, because some of the energy is still yours, but if it's exactly straight up, then the energy, you provided energy to get it up there, but now gravity is pulling it back down, right? So here, the ditch fills up, right? And then it continues flowing because of gravity, basically. But that's gravity's fault, right? Or not really, it's really your fault. But the koach is that of gravity. So in the outer overflow, I can say that I can say two things. I can either say, right, overflow. What can I do? So I can say like this. I can say in the overflow, it's a clock shady, A, because there's time delay, right? But also because I see the overflow creates a clock shady, right? I can say, right, I would say it's right, a detached koach, right? Because of the ditch, right? It's now the koach of gravity, right? It's now hydrodynamics, which is taking over, right? Or hydrodynamics, we'll just leave it with gravity, okay? That's number two. Second, I'm gonna use three. Okay. Why could I be mechayev you still? Why might I say you're still chayev? Yeah.
You could say, look, at the end of the day, like the water's only flowing because you made a hole in the dam. There would be no water here bichlal if you didn't open it up. So it's still your koach.
Right. I mean, if you pull the trigger on a machine gun, right? So what happens? Some of you guys engineers? No. You have a machine gun. Okay, the way a machine gun works is that you have your standard gun system. So you have a machine gun, you have your chamber and your barrel and blah, 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 blah. What's important is like this. You have a bullet here, right? The first time you fire the pull on the trigger, right? It fires the bullet. Okay? The bullet flies out, right? And what happens? When it flies out, it creates a lot of recoil, right? The recoil pushes back on a spring, which then, right, shoots this guy out, okay? That way, it tosses it out, brings in a new one, and then the spring fires the next one, right? So where did the energy come from for the second shot? For the first shot, you release the trigger, right? So we say, you release the energy. On the second bullet, it's where did the energy come? Who released, tripped the trigger for that? The first bullet, not you, right? It's the energy from the first bullet that shoots the second bullet, right? The machine gun just simply keeps some of the energy from every round that fires in order to fire the next round, okay? Now, obviously, I think all of us would agree, or many of us would agree, right, that if you fire a machine gun at somebody, even if you only kill the guy with the 15th or the 500th round that you're firing on full auto, right, like a machine gun, it's still going to be chayiv. Why? So now, obviously, you can be mechayiv between that and the overflow, right? Because something happened in between with the overflow that didn't, with not the machine gun. But what you could also argue is that here's all this water, right, is your ammunition, right? By opening the dam, you're simply firing all this water, and everything that's here, right, has kinetic energy because you released it, and now all that is your responsibility, even the overflow zone. Yeah, you're right that it had a little detour in the middle, right? But at the end of the day, all the energy was released by you, right? So we'll say even the overflow zone, right, could be, right, it's, right, you release the kinetic energy. Right, equals Giri Tidei. Right? It's your arrows. You're shooting arrows. So you're, instead of shooting arrows one by one, right? And instead of it just, okay, these are ricochets, and these are, right, very much ricochets, like double ricochets. End of the day, though, right? So you've shot one, right? Or you shot 100.
So everything here is your responsibility, right?
Right? Everything here is basically arrows that you're shooting. Okay? You pull the trigger, so now the entire magazine is right? It's like giant water machine gun. Okay, fine. When is it gonna be Grumma then?
So that's when we get to number four is
water that isn't in the dam yet.
It's not here.
Okay. Why does that matter? Because then the water is getting here from where? What's it providing the energy for the water that's not even here yet? I don't have this pent up kinetic energy yet, right? It's in a river elsewhere. The river theoretically would get stuck in the dam, right? But so now I'm removing the dam, but where's the energy coming from? The energy is from an entirely external source, right? So number four, which is the river, right, is not going to be coffee shown. It's definitely going to be, right, it's one color, right? It's an entirely distinct and independent, it's an independent koach, right? Right? That's not only is it independent, but it's not even here, right? Right? That's not present. meaning it's not here, right? It's up there. And it's not, the koach isn't my koach. It's not kinetic energy that I've released. It's the energy is coming from somewhere else, right? Which I've never interacted with. And it's not even physically here, right? So it's in, it's, so number four is definitely going to be, right? Definitely going to be koach shame. The question is, right, what are we going to say, right? What do we think about the situation? What are the Rishonim going to say about these different cases, right? How are they going to define koach Rishon and koach Sheni by the dam? So, let's see, right? Best way to test this stuff out. Oh, 1 second, we want to see Rashi. So Rashi here said, "Bekoach Rishon alav miyad kigon shehenicho samoch lisfas hayam." V'hasafa midron, v'koach rishon kishepina lahem derech letadze miyad naflu alav. Dehavu kocho, koach sheni henicho rachok ktsas v'lo naflu hamayim miyad. Itzeso mi gedrosav alav el lachar mikan halchu el makom shu sham gramahu v'lo mikocho. What does Rashi say?
Delay and distance.
Right, any distance. What number is that?
Delay and distance.
What?
Also the delay.
Right. Rashi says delayed distance. Where does Rashi have you putting him?
What do you mean by the question?
Which number? Right. We just need numbers for different things that are right. What's Koachri shown? Which number?
One.
Koach Rishon, exactly. Only number one is Koach Rishon, right? Meaning, according to Rashi, the guy has to be over here, right? Rashi says the victim needs to be sitting over here so that when you open it, miyad, it falls directly on top of him, right? If you put him in number two, that would be Grum, right? Now, again, what's Rashi saying? Is Rashi saying because it didn't fall directly on top of him, or because it's not miyad, right? Rashi needed both, exactly. As Aryeh pointed out, Rashi says he needs to be here so that it falls directly on him immediately. But those are two separate things, right? So Rashi definitely says that koach rishon is talking about only the splash zone, right? But that the reasoning Rashi gives is that it needs to be both miyad and it needs to be direct, okay? So unclear what Rashi would say, which one of those is the key for Rashi. I kind of need more space. I'm just going to do, yeah. Right, what is Koach Rishon? So Rashi says, right, it's direct and immediate. And she does Rashi in Sanhedrin. Okay. What other shittos do we have? How else can that be interpreted? So, 1 second. The Meiri, Nisha Kavas Chavero, Hinicho Kafas Bimako Mirutas Hamaim, the Hifne Mirutas Hamaim Olav, Im Hinicho Kolkach Samuch Lesvatayam. Achakoach rishon shel hamayim hamiso nerag alav im hemicho rachuk ad shelo higio hamayim alav bekoach rishon ela shela acher mikin higio adayin higio edav in ze ela grama upata. And it probably should be elav and not have edav, right? So the Meiri says similar to Rashi, except that What he, yeah, exactly. Well, what's important here? It's about being samuch, right? So that the koach rishon, the first gush, hits him directly, right? It's not a question of time delay, right? He removes the Rashi line of time delay, right? He only cares about it being immediate, okay? So it's the Re'iri, right? Oh, sorry, direct. He only cares about it being direct. He doesn't care about it being immediate. Right? So the Me'iri says it's got to be, number one, where it falls on him directly, right? But only because it needs to fall directly on him and not because it's immediate, right? Just to add in, right? This is direct and immediate. Okay. Yeah, Tila.
I understand the idea of it being direct, but I kind of pictured Svat Hayam as two. So how would like being directly in the splash zone be the count of being on the edge? I'm just trying to figure out how those two work together.
Oh, well, I think he's not really dealing with a nice stowaway the way I drew it. He's really dealing with over here. So since it's on the floor, there's no nice direct splash. So instead what he's talking about is like you move this whole thing and this one wave comes and like pushes out directly. So if the first wave gets you, he's really dealing with like you have like a breaker or something, and you move the breaker and then the whole wave just comes right on it. So if it's the first wave, then you're chayv. If it's like the second wave, then you're already pater. I think it's essentially the same idea, but it is a little bit, you know, because you could sort of like theoretically argue that it's like here also. I mean, also the point is that it's that first like direct gush or that first wave, as opposed to, you know, subsequent ones. Like the first wave that comes from having opened the dam, right? You open the dam, and there's this huge like, you know, splash. And then it flows like more normally, right? It's like when you open up the faucet and there's that first like splash of water, and then it like flows in a more ragua manner. So that first splash, that's considered kocho, you know, and everything else is not. Because it's like a more direct use of the energy. Okay. Okay, so this Yad Ramah, once I just want to see if the rest of Tosos. No, yeah, we're going to do that. So the Yad Ramah here has a very long piece, but it's very, very important. The Yad Ramah goes and says, wait a second, right? Hai man de kasvil chavre va'ashkil ale bidka demaya. Hesim rutsa zeramayim alav chayiv. Mai taima. Geiri didaininu. Right? So he says, wait a second. Like, I'm not totally happy with this whole situation. Why? Because he says, I don't get it. If you, you know, shouldn't you, like, you're killing the guy. Like, why should we pater you? Why should you be safe simply because, you know, you, like, it's a little bit indirect. So he says, see if I can find the exact lines that are liked. Okay, right. So how you davar masik bein amayim ubeino v'natlo nimtzu amayim ban alav meilehem, right? Amay chayiv halav kochahu. Right. So he asks, wait a second. If there's a dam and you remove the dam, that's hasaras monea, right? There's something blocking the water. The water would flow without by themselves. It's blocked. You're unblocking, right? V'su ma'ishna midraba da amar zar chitz v'tres biyado. Right? Damar Zark Bochet Trispiado, Ba Ze Vinatlo, Filu Hu Kadam Vinatlo, Pater, Idna Deshada Masik Psiki Geri. Right? If you were to shoot an arrow at someone when he has a shield in his hand, and then someone else were to remove the shield, that's Hasaras Monea, and you're Pater. Right? It's the rule. Right? Someone shoots an arrow, you steal the guy's shield while the arrow is coming. Right? there's like a, I don't know, there's like a missile coming, and like, oh, you have like a, you have like an Iron Dome missile, right? So you're about to shoot it down. And then I come and I like, I yank away your Iron Dome missile, right? Or even more, right? There's an arrow coming and there's a shield, right? And it's going to block it. And then it's just like, woo, and I zoink away your shield and then you get hit, right? So you're putter. Because at the end of the day, right? Zarek bo tris, Zarek bo chetz, he threw, shot an arrow at him, tris biado, bazev v'natlo, and you take away the shield after the arrow's already been fired. Afilu hu kadam v'natlo, even if you go, you shoot the arrow, then you run, you steal his shield, and then it hits him, you're putter, right? Why? Because, d'be'idna d'shada mifsak psiki geri, right? So even though you did hasaras moneas pater, okay, which is a very important idea, the idea of you have something which is would theoretically block something else, right? And now it's not going to block anymore. So in that case, you're pater. Ava gav de kashakile lahum o miadam midam da hu have a mafsek bine uben gire de shadabe pater. There, you shot the arrow and you took away the shield afterwards and your putter. Here, you didn't create the water, right? The water's already there. You're just releasing it, right? Or you can use the word release, in which case, you're not doing anything. You're simply allowing it to go. Amai mechayiv. Lo tikshilach, the avagav delav kocho hu, kiven de machmas masa dide ka azli ki kocho di dami. Da gay reiki azli lav machmas kocho kazli ela machmas de shavik li yitru shel keshes, right? Is this, an answer is no, because this is exactly the same as releasing a bowstring, right? Azul geiri mimeila, right? And when you release the bowstring, what happens? You don't throw an arrow, you pull the string back, and then you just let go. If you just let go, you're just releasing the string, you're not doing anything. Right, and yet clearly we consider that to be kocha. Right, kivan de machmas masa didei ka'azli, since it's going because of him, it's kocha dami. Right, just like releasing a bowstring. Right, so hachanami lo shana, releasing the dam is like releasing a bowstring. Mahanu de kamar of papa gei rididei nam ninhu umechayiv lo dami hamilsa lezark bochetsu tris biado. Why di ilu hasam kisoke litris mikmei de nimti geira legabe. Who disalke, right? You take, when you steal the guy's shield, you're not interacting with the arrow. What are you doing? You're taking away his shield, and now he's going to get hit. Dilibasa, obviously, because if the arrow was already pushing against it, right, it would have already gotten stuck, right? So, right, lo hava azil geiri tve, v'lo hava mektal. Ela vadai al karchech, v'disalke mikmei dinakat legabe askinan. So when you take away the shield, it's before the arrow gets there, right? And therefore what? Hachi pater. Dichisolke, when you took away the shield, lav midi avad. Right? Nothing happened. There's no interaction, right, between you and the arrow. Right? You're not harnessing the force. You're not releasing the kinetic energy. Right? You're doing nothing. When you release a bowstring, when you break the dam, you're releasing that energy. You're harnessing that energy. Harnessing energy is considered Geiri Didei, Koach Rishon, right? Simply removing a defense mechanism is considered to be Geiri Didei. Okay. I'll have to finish on time then. Okay? So me and Sof Chetz Lavo, Ha'amran Kol Sof Horig Lavo, Pater, Degroma Bi'amahu. Ha'ocha Ki Solke La'afra, the mafsik bein maya lididei, maya havu nagi bahahu afra. The water is touching the dam. Kisoke laafar geri didehu. Right? And that means that when he releases the water, that he's interacting, right, with the water. His koach is intermingled with the koach of the water. Okay? The Rav called this koach acher mu'urav bo. You have koach, right? And your koach is joining with another koach. Okay? So when you release it, it's geiri didei because it's koach acher mu'urav bo. Right? Teida, deha mayas machmas maya, de'asu lebasar hachi pater. But if he were to die because of the water that only comes later, that would, he would be pater. Right? What is that? I think that's number four, right? That is the river water that only comes later, right? If because the water wasn't there, so you never, your koach was never mu'urav with the koach of that water. V'hainu maya demikaro miduchtayu debishas silo kadavar v'amafsek inu maya demikarvi ledavar hamafsek maya da'asu basar hachi. Right? Only the water that comes later, number four, that is what's going to be pater. That's koach sheni, because there's no koach acher mu'urav bo, right? Degram ba'amahuk debushina be'ika lefrushe hani mili bekoach rishon shamayim hayordin b'shas shepina lahem derech lo amdu ad sheegiu le'ish hakafos. Right, that's 1 second. So we're just going to pause for half a second. Okay. His first explanation, right, and which is one we like the most, is as follows, right? That only number four, right, this is the shita of the Yad Rama, right? Only this is going to be not koach rishon, but even the overflow, right, is koach acher mu'urav. Right, since his koach harnessed the kinetic energy, the potential energy that's already really potential energy. So I've been saying kinetic energy all the time, right? The potential energy in the water. So his koach is mi'urav, right, with this other koach, right? He has harnessed that other koach, right? And therefore, you're chayav. Right, and that is the Yad Rama, number one. Okay. And that's huge. That's a very, very, very big chiddush, right? He's saying any time, even one, two, and three are all chayiv, right? Because the water, right, is coming, is being pushed from there. It got here because of the kinetic energy that was, right, that was released, right, that from its potential energy by your opening the dam. Your opening the dam is combined with the potential energy of the water in the dam, so that anywhere where it goes afterwards is koach acher mu'urav bo, and you're chayav. Right? Only the river water that didn't come at all, that's going to be pater. Okay, then he just adds in one last, he says, oh, ikadamri, that actually, hani mili koach rishon, you could be mitzamtzim this whole thing, right? That hamayim hayodim b'shach shepina lehem derech, lo amdu ad sheegiu le'ish hakafos. Right? An alternative say that number three is going to be pater. Why? Avalim omdu baderech, if they hit a ditch, machmas davar sheikvan ulbasof nimshchu me'alehem v'holchu lav giri didehu. That's already koach sheni. D'chol hecha detemi maya v'hadar azli lav giri ninu v'hani trei perushe ma'ali ninu v'travayu alib de'ochsa salki v'lo mechayva d'mayas machmas maya d'mikari b'shas ma'isa. Right, that if they got stuck on the way, then it's already considered koach sheni. Okay, we're gonna stop here. Okay, but what we're seeing here is that even though we're clear that koach rishon koach sheni is the defining feature of grama versus whether we consider it koach tidei, right? Defining what you need in order to separate between those, is it a time delay? Is it some sort of indirectness of the action, right? Is it no, there's you know, there's some sort of right second koach involved, or no, right? Says the Yad Rama, even if there's a second koach involved, as long as your koach is mu'urav with the original koach, right, that the two of them are working together, that still creates, or if you've harnessed an external koach, that's still considered geiri didei, that's still considered your arrows and not considered grama. Okay, so we'll continue with Latosos and the Shalti Gevurim Shita next year.